Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Maybe you've heard of VR, but never experienced it. Well, VR, or virtual reality, is a system that creates an artificial, interactive environment that makes you feel like you're somewhere else. It gives you a startlingly realistic experience of sight and sound happening all around you. It's already being used by filmmakers, scientists, artists, and gamers. Is it a flash in the pan or a quantum leap of technological change? How will it affect Canadian cinema, and how can you experience it yourself? Pulse on VR is a new exhibit of Canadian VR work sponsored by the CFC, Canadian Film Centre, Media Lab. It's running through Sunday at the House of VR on 639 Queen Street West, and I'm very pleased to have three people here from that show to take the pulse of VR and to give us their take on how VR will affect Canadians and Canadian movies. Anna Serrano is the award-winning founder of CFC Media Lab that specializes in interactive storytelling. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Daniel.
Lisa Ellis is the conservator of sculpture and decorative arts at the AGO.
Hello.
Hi. And Priyam Givord is an artist and designer who specializes in interactive media. And Lisa and Priyam together co-created the VR experience of Small Wonders, which is a VR rendering of CT scan images of miniature Gothic carvings. Hi, Priyam.
Hello, Daniel.
Okay, thanks so much for coming in, all of you. So let's start with Small Wonders, the interactive VR exhibit. First, can you talk about what it is and how it came about? Let's start with you, Lisa.
So the VR experience came out of an exhibition that we had at the AGO called Small Wonders, and that was an opportunity for the AGO to work with partners, the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York and the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, to create a museum exhibition about these miniature Gothic boxwood carvings. The AGO has the largest collection in the world from the Thompson Collection. And these are tiny carvings that you can hold in you can hold in your hand. Not museum goers, of course, but the conservators and curators. And the idea was just to explore these objects, get as many as we could of the best examples from around the world. There are about 150 in the world. And my part in the exhibition was really on the request of my curator, Sasha Suda, was to work together with her to discover how these were made. So how we did that was we micro CT scanned them at the University of Western Ontario with Dr. Andrew Nelson. And what that entailed was putting them in a chamber for a couple of hours each and subjecting them to X-rays, which were then captured on a very sensitive digital plate. And with all of those thousands of X-rays, as the object slowly spins around, we're able to create a 3D version of it, sort of using software. So with that, the 3D version of it on my computer screen, I was able to cut it up using medical software called ORS, Canadian company. And I was looking at these, you know, what I was doing, and I thought, you know, there has to be some way to share this with the public. And then I was zooming around on Facebook, and I saw CFC Media Lab and Anna Serrano's work, had her come down and look at the scans, and then after that, it was just a non-starter.
Stepped in, yeah. So describe how it looks and how it is in VR.
Okay, so guess what? I've got, I'm getting those incredibly huge 3D files given to me by Lisa. And the challenge is, hey, how can we, you know, see this in VR? Obviously, I'm stoked by this. I'm an industrial designer originally and love materials. And I could see this incredible possibility of going through matter at a very small scale and being able to see it like if it were a world. So essentially, by prototyping and prototyping, we came up to a great installation using the most, let's say, efficient and room scale system that there is out there, which is called the HTC Vive. And from then on, it was basically, what do you call that? A hit run or a hun run?
It is an award-winning installation.
Yes.
Or a hit and run. Yeah.
But I think, Daniel, the important thing to note about these Gothic miniatures is that they actually are beads. So they're balls that sit in the palm of your hand, and they open up. And then when you open them up, there are miniature sculptures and dioramas inside them, and they're basically the size of pinheads.
When I saw the VR, it was incredible. I mean, it's blown up to be bigger than a normal person, and you're able to climb inside of it, look underneath and around and all around it, and it's this incredible view of devils and angels and hundreds of, not hundreds, but tons and tons of people in this tiny, tiny little bead, but you're actually shrunk down inside this bead can really experience it. And it's done like a narrative with a voice describing it and music going on in the background.
Yeah. So the music is something that was an exciting part of the project as well. It was sort of an ancillary part where the Boston Camerata created this music to go for the exhibition. And so we were able to incorporate that. But indeed, like the whole, so that it was a best case scenario with the VR, exactly how you were describing, Daniel, that you can get inside of this object. And even though I'd been studying this object physically and then using the scans, when Priyam showed me the VR, I saw things in it that I had never seen. So very exciting application of the technology, not just for fun, but for research.
So now let's talk about VR in general. So in my mind, the three main aspects of VR, one is it's 360, so it's all around you. Another is it's audio and visual 3D, potentially. And the third one is it can be interactive. And am I leaving any other aspect, or are those the main big three?
No, those are the main big three, yeah.
So do you think it's amenable, it's possible to have a movie made using VR? What do you think?
Well, yes, the answer is yes. But it's not the type of movie that you're used to.
Okay.
So it's less about a movie and more like a narrative expression, if you will. And I think the other thing to note is that it may also not behave like the same way stories might behave on the big screen or on the television. It might be more like open story worlds and akin to gaming. So, but from the point of view of can you see that type of open story world using a cinematic form like live action video, definitely that's where we're moving to. And what's interesting is that the live action video form is starting to become volumetric. That means that the kind of videos that we're used to now will have three dimensionality to it. And so once that starts to happen, God knows what kinds of effects that will have from an aesthetic, from a feeling, from an emotional resonance perspective.
Priyam,
yep.
Technology changes really quickly. Would you put VR at its childhood stage, somewhere in the middle, or at its mature, almost complete stage? Where would you place it on the timeline?
I would say it's just at the very beginning, but it seems like it started for good. If we have to remember that it started a long time ago in the 80s and even before, but it then flopped because computers were not strong enough to support that. But today, enormous amount of users have actually adopted the technology in corporate, you know, situations, as well as in the public world, as well as in research. So it's very accessible. And yeah, right now the hardware is pretty bulky. You have, you know, a little bit of goggles, you know, big black thing on your face. But already with that, people completely forget where they are. Like, they get immersed. They can walk through incredible, vivid landscapes that are fully 3D. They're totally as if you were in water. You are actually inside those spaces, and you hear and you feel. And very, very soon, you know, you'll be even more than that. So it's definitely taken off, and the future of it will be probably very incredible.
So throughout history, there have been changes in the technology used in making movies. So I'm talking talkies, widescreen, color, IMAX, 3D, and each advance generally changed the way movies ended up and were incorporated into it, and very rarely did people go back to the previous stage. Do you see VR affecting cinema in that way, or will it not enter that equation? What do you think?
Well, I think the first thing we need to maybe think about is dome cinema. So at the same time that sort of this VR technology has hit the market, what's happening too is that dome theaters are hitting the market. So
dome, what do you describe? What is a dome cinema?
So it's kind of like the planetarium and cinema together, except there's, you know, it goes further down towards the floor rather than just the dome part being just in the ceiling, if you will. And so so these are 360 cinematic environments that envelop you above you and slightly around you. And there's like a dome cinema that just opened in LA, the Société des Arts et Technologies in Montreal have been doing dome-based experiences. They have a dome there. And
is this VR?
Well,
or sort of VR?
It's sort of VR.
It's incorporating the 360 elements of VR?
Yeah, it's starting to move notions of expanded cinema into the consumer marketplace. So even IMAX is now starting to play around with like broader expanded cinematic screen forms, you know, where you're looking at 240 degrees, not quite 360. So I think that's the kind of clue that you're asking for, is how has VR impacted sort of how we're experiencing cinema? Well, I think it's starting to really point to this notion of bigger and broader and more enveloping screens that we're starting to see too in the market. And I'm not quite sure what the interactivity or the full immersion will generate in terms of our more traditional forms, but that's still up in the air, you know.
So interactivity seems to always involve one individual, whereas movie going involves a large group of people. Do you think you can have group interactivity?
Yes, absolutely. Provided somebody else wears also a helmet and they're actually picking up into the same environment, it would be like a multiplayer video game at this point. But if you only had something playing, which is without interactivity, here we're talking about interactivity in the sense of two things. You move your body through the VR experience as you walk, and you also have controllers in your hands so that the movements of your arms and everything can interact with the universe that you're in. So in a sense of cinema, you may not do that right away or in a different manner, but you definitely can have many, many people wearing the same helmet and seeing that same universe at the same time.
All together.
Yep, all together.
And finally, what do you think are the limitations of VR? What are the drawbacks of VR, and what are the future possibilities? So I'll let you all answer that. Do you want to start, Lise?
Well, for us, you know, as a conservator, I work with physical objects. So I say, you know, they will never be, you know, the experience of going to a museum cannot be replaced by any kind of technology. But the wonderful thing about what we did is with the VR experiences, we made people look more closely at the actual objects and the incredible technology 500-600 years ago that were needed to make this object. So for us, it was a perfect pairing, so to speak. But for me, you can't really replace the AGO with technology.
And I think that is a good lesson that everyone who's interested in making VR should take from the Small Wonders experience, which is instead of one of the limitations of VR is that it could become like the Matrix, you know, where essentially it becomes an escapist, addictive form of technology that would make everyone sort of not be committed to fixing the real world, but instead spending all their time in cyberspace, right?
And Priam?
Yeah, I would say it's about this isolation concept and paradigm here. So, you know, when you wear those goggles, even if you are actually technically speaking in the same space as others, in the real world, in the flesh world, everybody's wearing those goggles and nobody sees each other with their real eyes anymore. And so, you know, that's the question for now, right?
Well, I found it a fascinating show. I've experienced this myself and I recommend it to everyone. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lisa Ellis is conservator at the AGO. Priyam Jivon is an interactive artist and designer. And Anna Serrano is director of the Media Lab at the Canadian Film Center. Their show, Pulse on VR, is on now through Sunday at Toronto's House of VR. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.